On the first day of the week, as was mentioned, that we are meeting together on the beginning of the new year, 2023. It's hard to believe that a new year is really upon us. And as Bill mentioned in Philippians, Paul talks about not looking back, but looking forward, forgetting the things that are behind. But as we think about the past year, there are some things that we do not want to forget, and especially here in Burien, the passing of John Castle and of Ron Robbins, two of beloved brethren here that have been such a part of the church in the past, and we don't want to forget them. We want to remember them, but it's true that those things that have now concluded of 2022 are in the past, and we cannot use those opportunities anymore. God gives us a new day each day, and He gives us the opportunities that new day brings. But when that day is gone, it's not a renewable resource after that. So, the passing of a year, I believe it really is a sobering thought. It's an encouraging thought that here we have a new year that is beginning. But each time a year comes and goes, then it should cause us to think that life is passing. And as the scripture points out, that we are moving through life for a purpose, and we need to be preparing for eternity as we think of John and Ron, and our hopes and beliefs are that they are with the Lord, and that their life was lived in a faithful way to now be in eternity with Christ. And that is our goal, each one of us. In order for that, we do have to look ahead to each year with a coming purpose. And that's what I would like to for us to think about. So as we think about 20 and 23, it is really something that God gives us a new year to begin. And on a fresh day like this, on the first day of the week, we come together to worship, and we remember Jesus died for our sins, but we also want to look ahead to the coming of the new year. And I want to ask a question, which I think is one that we all need to ask. Will 2023 be a year of growth? And I'm speaking of that each of us individually. In our lives, as we move through this year, will we find ourselves growing closer to Christ and growing spiritually? Is that going to be our intent? Because it's not going to happen accidentally. Is that our purpose? Is that our focus of, as we begin this year, that we would like to see ourselves growing in the Lord and maturing in our faith? But also as a congregation, as we think about this coming year, I would like us to also be reflecting on not just in physical numbers we would like to see the church growing, but also in spiritual growth as well, as we want to see people coming to Christ and receiving salvation. Certainly, but we want to also consider the fact that there's steps that we can all be taking to help bring that about. And is that our goal? Is that our intent as we begin? So I want to begin by reading from 2 Peter chapter 3 and beginning with verse 10. I think this is an appropriate reading for us as we think about these things in 2 Peter chapter 3 beginning with verse 10. And he says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever." And it's these last words that I would like for us to focus our thoughts on this morning, where in verse 18, and this is the final words that the Apostle Peter gave to us as he was getting old in life and knowing the future was coming. These were the closing words that he would write. But he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever." And as we look at these words, we see that it was meant as an exhortation to the brethren there at this time, as an encouragement. But what we recognize as we read through that passage is that he precedes this with warnings. And there are warnings here that as we move down to the end of that and we look at this context, I want us to have that in mind as we focus on this last verse. But first of all, he was warning them about to be always mindful of the coming of the day of the Lord. And as he spoke of that, he did like Jesus and Paul in 1 Thessalonians, that he said, how will it come? It will come as a thief in the night, and meaning unexpected by most people. But it doesn't need to be that way for us, because as Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in a beautiful way of looking at this, that he gives us a perspective as we approach the thought of the day of the Lord coming, and that is that we are to be children of light, and that we don't know the day or the hour when Jesus is going to come. It hasn't been revealed to us. So it is useless for us to spend time trying to look for the signs. Is this the time of Jesus coming? Instead, we need to prepare ourselves and be living in a way, as he says, that whenever Jesus does come, we'll be ready. We are to be living as children of light. And so this day would not take us by surprise, even though we might not know the exact day that it was going to happen. We will be prepared. But the other thing that he brings out here, Peter, is that there are going to be false teachers. And that these false teachers, he said, and that in the writings of our beloved brother Paul, that there were some things in there that were hard to understand. But he mentioned that these men, unstable, will twist the scriptures and to their own destruction. Well, certainly I would say that today, as we look around, we find that there are those who do this very thing, that they take the scriptures and distort them or twist them. And so his purpose in this is to exhort us and to be diligent as we look forward to each new year that is coming. He says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, so as we look at that, we see that he is telling us the day of the Lord is going to come. And don't get lulled to sleep as time goes on, thinking, beginning to doubt and wonder, the day of the Lord, is it really going to happen? Yes, it is going to happen. We need to be diligent. We need to be preparing and living as though if Jesus came today, we will be ready. We will be prepared. But we don't know the day or the hour. And that there are those out teaching that would lead us astray. And there's always that danger present that we might fall away from our steadfastness. If we are not giving diligence, then we can be drawn aside and we can be weak in our faith, and we could even fall away from the faith. So there is that danger. But he is giving us a way of proactively, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so as we look at that, we see that there are two avenues here, two things that he is pointing out to concentrate on in our life. And these are the two things, the areas that I would give for us to consider as we begin this new year: to grow in grace and to grow in knowledge. Now, as we think about those things, we first of all think about grace, how important grace is in our life. And this is the word grace that is used throughout the New Testament. I believe over 80 times the Apostle Paul uses this word, grace, charis. And what it defines to mean is that which brings favor. And referring to God's loving kindness, God's love, His salvation, His grace, His mercy in our lives. So we need to be growing in grace, Peter says. But then he also says we need to be growing in knowledge. And knowledge is something different than grace. Obviously, grace and knowledge is two different things. Knowledge is the word gnosis, which Peter uses this a number of times, and referring very specifically to a thorough knowledge, not just knowing a few things from the Bible that we have some vague concepts in our mind. He's talking about we need to have a good, solid Bible knowledge that we are able to apply, make a personal application, and have a knowledge of God's Word as we go about living our lives. So it's two totally different things, yet he is bringing these together and showing the relationship of these two things as keys to growing in our lives. Now, I'm assuming that we all want to grow as we live the Christian life. And as we go into this new year, we all want to grow. And I'm asking us the question also, do we want to see the church here grow? So Peter is giving us God's plan for growth here in these final words that he is writing, knowing these troubling times that are upon us. He is laying out for us a very simple plan of how we can grow. We grow in grace, that is, in the favor of God in our lives as we grow in becoming more and more like Christ and more like God. But at the same time, we're to be growing in knowledge, and we are to be spending time in God's Word. That is going to equip us, and that is going to help us prepare to grow in the grace of Christ. We can't do one without the other, in other words. So Peter is very deep thoughts, and yet at the same time, very simple thoughts. Now, let me just say this, that as important it is that we don't fall away from Christ this year, and as it is important that this church does not become another casualty, as so many in the past few years with the COVID outset that has come upon our nation, and one after the other of churches has locked the door and the congregation no longer exists. And the numbers dwindle down and the people grow discouraged. We do not want to become another spiritual casualty here in Burien. Let me just say that. And I don't want to see any of us here this morning become a spiritual casualty of falling away in our faith this coming year. So I want us to stay focused and be committed and understand this is not just something optional that we're talking about this morning. Not that being growing, oh, that's a good idea, yes, and we want to do a little bit of that here and now. But no, he is saying this is an essential, and it's urgent, and it's needed, and it's because we could fall away and the church could dwindle down and close the doors if we're not paying attention to the importance of what he is talking about, that we need to be growing in grace and we need to be growing in knowledge. And that is each one of us individually and as a congregation. We need to consider the importance of these things that he is speaking about here. But that is important as it is that we not fall away. And that would be a tragedy. The thing that I want to emphasize is that we sometimes forget. We don't want to fall away. But what we need to be focusing on, we need to be growing in our life as a follower of Jesus Christ. So those are the two things that he says. Now don't fall away, but here's what we need to be doing. We need to be growing in grace and knowledge. And the word that he is using here is a word when he says grow, that is in a present imperative, which meaning in the Greek language, continue to be growing. This is something that needs to be an ongoing attitude that we have in our life as a Christian to continue on growing in grace and knowledge as long as we live. There is no there's no time that's coming where we get to a point where we say, well, I've done my growing But we need to continue to be growing this coming year. And it's not just this year that I'm saying, but this is a time of reflection as we come to the end of one year and we're starting anew. It's a great time to be thinking about that and be considering, now is the time for us to take this attitude and this commitment to grow in this coming year. And I'm asking the question, will this year be a year of growth? And I want to just stop and make this observation also, is that I hope we all appreciate and recognize this fact here, that God blesses His people when they are making an effort to be righteous people. That is something that has always been true throughout all of God's Word, is that God blesses His people when they are making the effort to be righteous, to be pleasing to God. They are making that effort. Now, we're all flawed people. We all fall short in many ways. We should acknowledge that. We all make our mistakes. We all have our problems. But what God is looking for in our lives, that we're this people who have that trust in God, that we are striving to be pleasing to God. We are seeking to be in His favor by becoming more like Him, by striving to be righteous as God would have us to be righteous. And you can look throughout the Bible and you can say that here were times in the past where there were these little small groups of people, and here was this one man, and here was this one woman, and they were seeking to be right with God. And what did God do? He blessed that person. And we've got to have faith in that. We've got to have faith that God is the kind of God that He is looking for, people who are striving to do His will. And they're not perfect. They fall short in many ways, and they have made a lot of mistakes. But what He is looking for, they are making the effort to be pleasing to God. And when God sees that, He pours out His blessings. And He helps those people. And He helps them to accomplish things that is in their heart to want to be pleasing to God. God is there to help those individuals. So as we look at 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning, I believe it is so applicable and relevant here that we need to look at this and we need to think about this so that we can truly make an effort to be growing in this coming year. And I want to begin by speaking about grace. How is it that we can grow in the grace of God? Now, I'm not talking about receiving more grace from God, because whenever we obey the gospel, whenever we put our faith in Jesus Christ, as we see in our lesson in the book of Romans that this morning was clearly pointed out, that God bestows His grace upon us, our sins are forgiven, we are counted righteous. So it's not a matter that we're needing to receive more grace in that sense. But the word grace, it means that which results in God's blessing and favor. And so we're looking at evidences here this morning, and then we're going to look at knowledge as a separate category. But first of all, one of the areas I believe that we can be an evidence in our life, let me just say that what we are looking for is, do you see evidences in your life this morning that you are growing in being pleasing to God? Because as it says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I didn't read that verse, but let me go back and read that in 2 Peter in This is in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 10 through 12. I want to take a moment to read that, and then we'll get back into the thought. But he said here, he was quoting from Psalms. He's quoting from actually Psalms 34. But beginning in verse 10, he said, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord," notice this, he said, "the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." You see, they do not have God's favor at all in their life. But those who are righteous, those who are seeking to be righteous in the eyes of God, God's eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And that is the key that we want to be, as we come into the new year, we want to be growing in the grace of God. We want to be growing that we are these people who are striving to be right with God and to be pleasing in his sight. And therefore, God is looking upon us, and he is acknowledging us, and he is listening to our prayers. And then something good is going to be able to happen in our lives, because we are people who are righteous before God and seeking to grow in that way. So as we think about the grace of God, the first area that I want to point out is there should be a sense in our attitude that we have of remorse for our sins. And we see this in the Bible, that whenever people begin to come into the grace of God, where God would look with favor upon them, is when they sometimes have sinned against God and they have not been all that they need to be, but they now are making that commitment. And they sometimes would deeply express, "Lord, we have failed. We have fallen short. We know we have sinned in your sight. But yet we seek your forgiveness, and we want to strive to do your will." So we think about the Apostle Paul here, for example, the attitude that he demonstrated, and as he considered that he had been a persecutor of the church. And in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The Apostle Paul is expressing that he had an attitude of deep remorse of that past in his life, and it was because God was merciful upon him that he was now able to be able to serve Christ. In order for us to be growing in the grace of God, there needs to be an attitude that we have then of, "Lord, we have failed. We have fallen short. We haven't been as diligent as we should have been in this past year. But we want to commit ourselves to you. We want to be your people." And so a second area that we find is a strong prayer life. A stronger prayer life in the life of a Christian. That goes hand in hand with part of the growing in the grace of God, to have a commitment. in our life in this coming year to be people of prayer, that we commit ourselves in a more meaningful prayer life. I understand we all pray, and sometimes we sit down at the meal and we have prayer and we thank God. But I'm speaking about we need to be having a more meaningful prayer life in our relationship that we have with God to draw closer to Him, and truly in an openness of our hearts, pour out our Lord, help us. We want to do Your will. We want to be Your people, and we want to grow in our life as we serve You, because we know that You can use us. We have trust in You. So in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15, notice how John the apostle gives an encouragement to us to have this prayer life with God. He says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." Notice the confidence that John has in his prayer with God, because if we ask anything according to His will, we know that we have those requests are going to be answered by God. That is why it's so important that we be committed in a prayer relationship, and that we are going to spend time praying to God on a daily basis, each one of us. And we're praying for our families, we're praying for our wives and husbands, we're praying for one another, we're praying for the church. And we're praying that God will help us and use us as we grow in His grace and His favor. He's going to acknowledge our prayers and answer our prayers. And that's going to result in this that we can see we are growing in our faith. And the numbers, maybe they will come, but we are growing in our own relationship with God. Now, the third area that we can see is another evidence that we are growing in the grace of God is when we have peace and contentment just in our own hearts as we live in these stressful times that we are. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of uncertainty of what might happen, what all is about to happen, what's going on in the world around us. But the Bible is saying, no, we can have a peace that passes understanding. And as we serve God, that is one of the truly great blessings that is promised to each one of us, that we can, within our own hearts, be calm and peaceful and be content. As he says in Philippians chapter 4, I love Philippians, it's such a beautiful... Paul, keep in mind, as he is writing Philippians, he's in prison at the time. And yet, notice what he talks about here. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So the world around you can be just falling apart, Paul says. But within your own heart, you have a peace that is beyond description. You can't even describe it, what it is. And if we think we can describe it, then we're doing better than the Apostle Paul could. Paul said you cannot describe it. He could. It was inexplicable, the peace that he was able to have within his heart when he was there in prison and he didn't know what the future, and yet he was at peace with God. He was at peace with his past. He was at peace with his brethren. We want to be at peace with our families. We want to be at peace with one another. We want to be at peace with our neighbors. And most of all, we want to be at peace with God. And through Jesus Christ, He has made that possible. And He also says down here in verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And so one of the keys to knowing that we're growing the grace of God is when we're content. We're able to be content with the circumstances that we have, where God has put us. We're here in this beautiful area, and yet it's in many ways a very challenging area to be a Christian. And yet we're here, and we have our homes. We're blessed in many ways, but we're content. And that is a sign that we are growing in the grace of God. But the other area that I want to also mention is when we are sharing the light of Christ with those around us. Just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, He said, "But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And it's when we are making that awareness and constantly focusing in our thoughts of how can I share the light of Christ as I live next door to my neighbors, as I go to school, as I go to work, as I am just meeting someone maybe that I have not met before. But how can I share the light of Christ? And that be a love and a joy and a peace and evidence that I believe there's God in my life. And life is good and God is great. And I want to share it with those that I come in contact and be a blessing to them in their life. That is an evidence that we are growing in grace. When that attitude and that feeling is there and we are making that effort, take advantage of those opportunities that God puts in front of us to share His light, then we see that we are growing in the grace of Christ. But now let's turn the side and look at the other side of this, where he says we need to grow in knowledge. And this growing in knowledge here, as we think about knowledge, as I mentioned, this is the word gnosis, and this is referring to a full and a very definite knowledge that we have, a spiritual knowledge of God's Word. And this is something, once again, I say that it's not going to happen accidentally in our lives. Gaining a knowledge of God's Word, we have to be committed that is what I want to gain, is a knowledge of God's Word. I want to grow in my understanding of Scripture. And so the result of that diligent study that we will do as we continue on in this coming year is to have a well-grounded scriptural knowledge. And as we think about that, of course, one scripture that comes to mind would be in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, where if you look in the King James Version, it says, "But study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, a more recent translation, some are a little more specific on that, because it says, "Give diligence to present yourself a worker not ashamed of but rightly dividing the word of truth. And why would we be ashamed? Why would any of us be ashamed? It is because we would be ignorant. We do not know the scriptures when we should know them. And an opportunity comes up that perhaps even someone would come to us and ask us the question. For example, they might say, well, why do you partake of the Lord's Supper the first day of every week? Most churches don't do this. Why do you partake of the Lord's Supper the first day of every week? And if we are not prepared, and if we cannot answer the question, we say, well, I think that's the way we have always done it. It's a tradition that we have. Well, let me tell you, that's not the answer. We need to have a Bible answer for people. And if we have not been studying our Bible as we should, and all of a sudden that question is asked us, we aren't able to answer the question, we're going to be ashamed because we are our own ignorance of the Bible is going to be on display. We need to be diligent students. We need to spend time investigating to gain the textual knowledge of God's Word that we are a better, more meaningful knowledge of the Scripture in this coming year. And the second aspect of that, though, is that there is a personal application that we need to be making as we look into the study of God's Word. We need to be making a personal application of it because that is how we're going to gain wisdom. Spiritual wisdom comes through the personal application of the knowledge of Scripture that we have. And as we think about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 as a good example, where it speaks there of those Jews who were in Berea, it says, were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with readiness of mind. That was number one. They were of readiness of mind to receive the word of God. But second, they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. And this is something that is going to result that as we hear things being taught, we do not just accept them, but we are able to, for ourselves, open our Bibles, look and study from God's Word, not depend on Paul to get up and preach on Sunday, and we're going to get our knowledge from listening to his sermon every week. That's not how we grow in knowledge. That may be part of it, and being that attitude to receive the Word of God with readiness of mind. But the second part is where our own, each one of us, you have a responsibility, each one, to do what it says. Search the Scriptures daily if these things were so. You may hear me saying something that is not in accordance with God's Word. It's not going to be my intention. But I don't want you to put your trust in me as though I am the one that your faith is resting. You need to have your own knowledge of the Scripture. And that is what is going to result in you make a personal application, you use this in your life, and you're going to begin to have wisdom. Sadly, there are many people today that do not have wisdom in the way they are living their lives. You can just see it. And some Christians do not have wisdom. And that is because sometimes they have knowledge. And they can quote books of the Bible. They know some verses from the Bible. But they sure do not have much wisdom. And it's because they are not making a personal application. And they are growing in their wisdom to be able to make wise choices in their life which they're not doing. Some of them are making foolish choices, even though they are fellow Christians, sadly. But it comes down to, are we growing in knowledge and are we making a personal application of Scripture to our own lives, that we are people who act with wisdom, we make wise decisions, we make wise choices. And sometimes you hear people spouting off the knowledge that they have. And I heard one the other day saying that, did you know that tomatoes is not a vegetable? It's a fruit. Well, that's true. But you don't put them in fruit salad. So there's one thing to have knowledge, but how are you using your knowledge? There's knowledge and there's wisdom, and we need to have wisdom. But we can't have that unless we first have a deeper knowledge of God's Word. I believe it's a test for all of us as Christians as we enter the new year. Do we really want to see the church grow here? Now, there's going to be many opportunities. You have many opportunities in this congregation to be growing in knowledge and in grace. And one of those would be, as we begin the new year, is to have a daily Bible reading plan. And I've mentioned this before, how much it has been a blessing to us to do this together in our marriage every night and every single day of this past year. And we finished that plan last night, as a matter of fact, but today is we start a new one. And we're going to be using the one this year that is called Eat This Book. And you find it in the YouVersion Bible app if you are interested in that. But you can sign up for it. And today is the day to sign up for it because it sets you on January the 1st and you are going right through the year. And you can just look it up and say, well, now it's day 364. And it keeps your track and your place. And so this plan is just going to be reading straight through the Bible in order. But every night there is a psalm that is sort of a personal application of how we can use God's Word. But it's a test for us. It's always a test in your life. Do I have that attitude in my heart that I am striving to please God? I know that I fall short in many ways. But Lord, I want to do your will. I want to be pleasing to you. And I believe that when I or any other person strives with that attitude, you in heaven look upon us, you hear our prayers, you bless us, and we're able to grow in your grace and in your knowledge. And we can be fruitful and we can be productive and we can be able to do things by your help and your power. That is amazing. So that is the test. That is the question. Will 2023 be a year of growth in your life and in my life? So that is